This is the Only in Rugby League podcast, where we discuss all things rugby league with me, Callum.
With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And still, the M62 and beyond.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What a week of sport in prospect we have. It's dead exciting. This is one of the best weeks of the year for sport.
You reckon?
Yeah, the Nationals on. Mm-hmm. Which we'll come to in a minute. It's Masters Week.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
United are playing Bournemouth.
I get a draw.
Yeah. And it's Challenge Cup quarterfinal weekend.
Yeah, true, yeah. Yeah, no,
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, lots to look forward to. I'm looking forward to the... who's your tip for the Masters then, Bobbles?
I haven't had a good look at the betting yet, but there's no one I really want to stick my neck on the line with. Like, everyone just... the ones that are looking good are the one... Like, your Scotty Scheffler's at 4-1, and...
So people that are listening to this and thinking, Bobby, scratch golfer, knows what he's talking about. Like, you know...
That's a lie.
He's like, knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Professional golfer.
There's just no one I really look at and I think, oh, you could... It just looks very... Yeah, it looks a bit
so
more...
So you haven't got anybody. So what are you just going with? Scheffler?
He looks good. I mean...
Favourite for a reason.
He's playing well. I mean, you know...
Well, what about the National then?
Well, what's yours? Hang on before you start
what?
Having a pop at him.
What, my tip?
Masters tip.
Yeah, Scheffler.
No, you got to pick someone else.
I don't know. We'll come back to it before the end of the pod.
All right. Will we? Yeah.
What about the National then? I'm going with Nassar Lamb. So you heard it here first. Everybody lump on Nassar Lamb.
Right. Okay. I like Shake 'Em Up Harry.
They won at Cheltenham.
Yeah. I just like
Harry Redknapp's horse, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it made me like it a bit less, but I like the horse.
I wonder what... Yeah, let's see these words of
40
wisdom.
40-1 it is, by
40,
the way.
Mine's 20, so... Yeah. Nice. Here we go. And yours is 50, which is...
Good Boy Bobby.
Isn't that the one that we read in that thing once where it said... Wouldn't be able to keep up very well. It was like, really?
Might have been. There was an horse that had the name Bobby or something to do with Bobby or Dazzler or something.
And it was like, needed a head start. So yeah. How much start would you give this horse or something?
Wouldn't give it much hope in keeping up or something.
No, it's a different horse because there's Bobby the Dazzler. There's that one. And there's another one and I can't think what that's called. But yeah, it's different.
It's quite accurate though.
It is.
Just to quickly go back to the Masters.
How much head start?
Just to circle back round to the Masters, if you want an outsider, Wyndham Clark.
Right, okay.
Won the US Open last year, good price at 28-1.
Sounds like a DIY shop, that, doesn't it?
Yeah. You get sofas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on down to Wyndham Clark.
Easter Monday sale.
Sounds like a car garage.
Monday sale at Wyndham Clark's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your new Kia.
Yeah, car swap at Wyndham Clark's.
What have we got on tonight, then?
Well, we've got the review from latest round of Super League. Bobbles has his stats. The NRL, run through that. An absolute mega bumper section of Only in Rugby League.
There it is.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
30. Yeah, we've reached the threes now.
I thought there was more, to be honest.
I probably forgot some because there's been that many. I struggled to write them all down.
Yeah, struggled to keep up with this week.
Yeah.
And then we'll be joined by Brian for a quick predictions league update and a quick whiz through the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. And that will see us out.
Yep.
So we will jump straight into it.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans. And then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well... You just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yes, we are going to jump into the Super League Round 7 review. And we are going to start in the south of France this week, where Catalans took on St. Helens. Catalans coming away with a victory 14-8.
I think it was probably a tale of two halves, especially from probably St. Helens' point of view. I thought they were really, really good in the first half and were quite dominant. Catalans managed to stay in touch for whatever reason, whether that being the two missed goals or just, I mean, it's been not a question, but a point over probably the last couple of years now, the attack of St. Helens and how good it is. But they managed to stay in, and then second half, it was sort of roles reversed, and I thought they were the really dominant force in the second half.
Mm. I come back to the attack in general. Mm. I think the big turning point was when Lewis Dodd held himself up over the line.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome tackle by Morg. You know, he did really well to he did enough, didn't he, to put him off and hold him up. It was an incredible tackle, but you're right, that was probably the turning point, because if they go three in front, you're thinking you're not going to get three consecutive tries against the Saints.
But he dived over the line and put his own hand underneath it.
I know.
And then got held up after that.
I know, it was...
I thought it was a good tackle. For me, it's more of a poor finish than a good
It
tackle.
Is a poor finish, don't get me wrong. It is a really poor finish from Dodd, but the tackle itself to manage to actually get on him and then under him and hold him up was incredible. He did really well, but you're right. I think 99 times out of 100, that's a try, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought Saints made a lot of errors in the second half.
Yeah, I was about to say that myself. I thought the game in general was quite poor from if you're a neutral point of view, or you're turning it on for the feet, it's quite poor. It was a lot of, you know, you saw it, Catalans knocked on, Saints knocked on, give it them straight back, there was no flow to the game at all. It was constant mistakes.
No, it was a very intense game, though. It was quite an enjoyable watch. I don't know if you would not like it if you were neutral. There was a lot of errors.
Error-strewn, wasn't it?
I think
it,
Alex Walms made about four of them, I think. But it was an intense game, and it was a decent watch. But again... Catalans coming away with a really, really good win.
Catalans didn't... I don't mean this in any disrespect to Catalans at all, because to obviously limit Saints to 8 points, they've done brilliant. They've out-Saints Saints in a way.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do anything spectacularly well.
No.
Catalan, but they did everything really, like, good enough.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm.
And had a good all-round performance. Whereas I think Saints, the attack is, if you're a Saints fan, has much changed from last year?
I don't think so. I think early on in the season, it was looking not different, but you could see they were trying different. Like, there was a lot of offloads and things like that. It was still very much... wolf ball, as Steve Orford has said many a times on this pod.
Did you see?
But there was a lot more offloads.
But did you see Paul Wellens' comments after, how he described the game after?
No.
Why they lost?
No.
Paul Wellens said they got pass happy.
I'm not quite sure.
No, I'm not sure
agree
about
with that.
No.
Which means they're going to have even less passes in the next game.
Well, that's it. And they've had a really tough month. We said.
We all said they'd win two, didn't we?
Yeah, they've had Leeds away twice, League Cup. Then they had Good Friday, and then Catalan, and we said win two. So I think if you've just gone to most Saints fans and said, we'll give you three of the four,
including the cup and the derby.
Yeah, including the cup, and they go, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still a good month for them.
Yeah.
But it was, I think it's just the manner in which they've lost the game.
Mm.
Yeah,
because they were so on top that first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest telling points for for Saints attack just in this, not just in this round, but in the seven rounds we've seen so far, is that this week after losing that game, they've dropped down to fifth, but yet they have the best defensive record in the league, with that being the first game that anyone scored more than two tries past them with with 13 on the field. The Salford game obviously didn't, you know, they got that man down and stuff. So, but the second game that they've scored more points than them. But to then slide down to fifth shows that you don't really have an attack, because how can you go from, I think were they first after Good Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've slid down four places in the matter of a week just purely because they aren't scoring enough points.
Which is what cost them last year in the end.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah. Anyway, but interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Saints manage to change their style. And it'll be also interesting to see if Catalans can keep up that intensity in each game they play.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Moving on to the Thursday night game, the Battle of the Borough, as it was called, Lee 12, Wigan 40.
Smacked them, didn't they? I don't think there's any other way of describing it.
Yeah. Yeah, Lee struggling without Ipapi and Asiata, I think.
Ipapi's a huge miss for them.
Yeah.
Like, he's massive. And so is Asiata, but they've struggled all season, and Ipapi's only played about 20 minutes or something, hasn't he, this season? Mm. You know, they're not anywhere near the levels that they were at last year.
No. I tell you, caught the eye for me for Wigan, Junior Asemba.
Yeah.
Seemed to be everywhere.
Yeah, every time I've seen him, he's looked decent. I think he's still only a youngish lad as well, so.
There's a lot of, and he hasn't played it because did he break his collarbone, Walters?
Yeah, collarbone, I think.
There was a lot of fuss about him going from Leeds, wasn't there? And he's there, but Asemba is like, really caught the eye in that sort of role, if you like.
Yeah, you struggle to see where they're going to fit everybody in, if everybody's fit.
It's a strong squad, isn't it? That's for sure.
It is in the pack, definitely.
Yeah. The funniest bit, I thought, was when, and I don't even know who it was, but they kicked through, Wigan kicked through. It was the French try that was assisted by the Lee player who tried to put it out dead. Instead, it come off his fingertips and bounced forward into Bevan French as he was diving in. I thought it was quite funny. I'm not sure it was Lou Telly, I'm not sure, but it was quite funny either way. And Jay Field off the mark.
Yeah.
Which, when I heard that, I was like, he's off the mark. He hasn't scored yet. And that was his first try.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, you would have never thought that with the amount of points they've scored.
It was like a pod stunned silence then, wasn't there?
Yeah,
I thought you just meant off the mark, bang, he's gone. Like.
No, he's like, no. Which he was.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant.
And to be fair, Harry Smith did really well then to see him on the inside and he'd gone. But apparently that was his first try of the season. He's off the mark.
That's mental, really, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I didn't expect that. So, didn't expect that at all.
No, but Wigan, you know, scoring for fun and holding teams to one or two tries a game, they've got the best of both worlds, really, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
And Lee, not so much.
Yeah,
but
if they're not careful, it's going to end up being a long season.
I was going to say, there's a big probably 3 or 4 weeks coming up for them.
For Lee,
they've got the quarter final against Hull KR this week. I'm not sure what the league games are, but the next two or three league games could be pretty vital for them.
Do you know what? They need to win that at weekend.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they need to win that. Mm. One, to get a bit of confidence going.
Yeah.
Two, because they won it last year, and it's do you want to have a chance of retaining it?
Yeah.
But it might just be their only chance of doing anything.
Well, I was just going to say, because if they lose this and they're out of the cup, it almost feels like, well, we've nothing to play for now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
Almost. Or we're getting on the verge of that.
Another month could see that. Yeah. I really do think this. I really do think the Challenge Cup game's a really key one for them at weekend.
Yeah,
and I don't think they'll win.
No, I don't. But, I don't.
just before we move on, just to come back to your point there, Callum, the next games for Leo Hulk are in the Cup, then they're away at Warrington.
Right.
Then they have Catalans.
Yeah.
And then Castleford.
So they do really
could be
need
one
to,
out of four there.
Definitely could be one out of four.
Mm.
Easily be one out of four.
Well, coming on to the team that they will play after the Challenge Cup, and that is Warrington, who had a very impressive display down at Headingley, coming away 34 points to 8 winners.
Yeah, I think I said the other week they were sort of flying under the radar, Warrington, but I think people have started to pay attention to them now.
George Williams is on fire, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an unbelievable talent. You know, he's England captain. You don't just get that given to you, do you?
No, but I do think that this is, whether or not it's a case of something's happened since Sam Burgess has come in, or something like that, but this is the best I've seen him play since he's come back and signed for Warrington.
Yeah, maybe.
He's dragging the team everywhere. He's pivotal in what they're doing. I really do think that he's at the probably the best form of his career, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think he's vital to everything that they do, especially going forward.
And I didn't actually realise how quick Matty Ashton actually is.
Right. Oh, the chase down with Hanley. Yeah.
I know he come across. I know he come across at an angle rather than chased him backwards, if you like, and caught him. But just the last few, when I've seen him, not just that chase, but he's so quick. He's rapid, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd have made it.
How much start?
90.
Where would Bobby have to be on the field going forward for Matty Ashton coming across?
For him to score.
Where would Bobby have to be with the ball in his hand and Matty Ashton's coming across from the same position?
Ooh.
On the 40?
10.
30. I was going to say 30.
If you were in the opposition 40, would you have got there? Do you think?
Nah.
30?
My 30.
No, his 30.
Oh, no.
Well, if he's not doing it.
I'm not going to do it for the 40. I'm not going to do it for the 30.
No, sorry, in the attacking 30. In the other,
yeah,
in the other 30.
Yeah.
Right.
In the opposition 30, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
I think you're looking somewhere between 20 and 30. Where's he? So if Bobby's on the 30...
Yeah, if I'm on the 30,
he was on the other wing and he must have been on about the other 30. Because that's where they turned the ball over, isn't it? And
20.
Yeah.
20 then.
So 30 and 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got to come across.
He's got to come all the way across the field, though.
I'd still make it.
What, from 30?
Yeah.
Nah, I disagree.
Nah.
Disagree.
Brute strength.
I think...
Even if he caught me, I'd just pile my way over.
I think he's got there, and then at the last minute, he's put a big dive in, and he's gone into touch just before he reaches the corner flag. You know one of them?
On what, the 30?
Yeah, if he's on the 30, Matty Ashton's come across, took Bobby out, into the advertising audience, and he couldn't get the ball down. They'll go to the screen, he'll give no try, and he's looked like he's dropped the ball trying to put it down. That's what I think would happen.
I don't think he's got anywhere near the line.
Nah, I'm making it, I'm telling you. Anyway, moving on from that. I think a bit more obvious for me, but I want to hear what you guys think. Was it a double movement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course it was, yeah.
No question. Yeah,
I've heard a lot of fans say if you play it in normal motion, it's not, but...
No, he's... Momorowski's been tackled.
Yep.
His ball carrying arm has hit the ground. And the minute he's hit the ground, the Warrington player is still in contact with him.
Yep.
So therefore, it's the tackle complete unless he keeps his arm in the same position and slides over. Rolls over. Which he didn't. He promotes his arm with the Warrington player still on him after his ball carrying arm has hit the floor. So therefore, it's a double movement.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's fine. So
that was a big game changer.
It was.
That was a big game changer because that could have really got them back in it. But Warrington had a really strong spell between the 20 and 40 minute mark, and they managed to go 16-4 up
at
half time. And when the Momorowski try was ruled out, which could have made it 16-10, they were up against it then a little bit.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, you know, 8 points down, 15 minutes to go.
Well, 12, but yeah. At that point, it's still
yeah.
12
sorry,
points,
no. I mean, yeah. I mean later on in the game.
Right, okay.
From
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You're 8 points down with 15 to go.
Yeah.
And you end up losing by 26.
Yeah, that
we've not. We've said it all season. It's not looking good for Rowan Smith or Leeds at the moment.
Never thought about it that way, really. Yeah, never thought about it that way. But yeah, you're right. They just haven't. Second half, Callum, this season for Leeds, they've not done much in second halves, have they? They've not finished strongly, have they, in the games that I've seen of them?
They don't seem to have. I mean, I don't know what the figures are, but they don't seem to have, no.
There's the one game against Lee where they came back from 16-0, but apart from that, not really an awful lot in second halves, as you said.
I think the dissenting voices are growing now.
Maybe the Cass game.
Maybe the Cass game. Oh, yeah, because yeah, it was 0-0 as well.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
I'm not really counting that one, though.
No, yeah. No, just... Yeah.
The dissenting voices must be getting louder, I think, now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Worrying times, I think.
Yeah. It wouldn't have surprised me if they'd have got rid of him now, because it's Challenge Cup this weekend and they're already out.
Yeah.
Mm.
It wouldn't have surprised me if they'd have made an announcement then and cleared the decks and give themselves 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have surprised me, but...
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think it would have me either.
Yeah.
Well, moving on from Headingley, and we're going to the other Smith that is in trouble, and that is Tony Smith at Hull, who was on at the end of another thumping this week, 56-22 in favour of the Huddersfield Giants.
They've just no heart, have they? No heart, no passion, no desire, whatever, to play for that shirt.
So, 57 seconds was the first try.
Mm.
And in that, in those two phases of play, they've missed two tackles.
Yeah.
One up the middle,
yeah,
and then one out wide. That's the first set of 57 seconds. Then, they get themselves back in it. At 19 minutes gone, they're only 12-4 down. They've got themselves back in it a little bit.
Yeah.
And somewhere between... about 28, 30 minutes and 40 minutes, suddenly it's 40 points at half-time.
Yeah.
Huddersfield must have scored on pretty much every set there between 30 and 40 minutes, which I think they pretty much did.
Yeah.
I think there was one set where they didn't score. And I think they've knocked five tries in, I think, in that time.
Yeah, it's baffling. Especially from... a Tony Smith outfit, I think. I think he's, you know, I mean, look at his record at other teams.
The right-hand side defence was embarrassing.
Mm.
Every try came down Adam Swift's side attacking.
Yeah.
And Hull's right-hand side was just... it looked like it was depleted.
Yeah. I was just running out of words for them, really.
No, Bride did a good... poll on Twitter this week, didn't he? Which Smith's getting sacked first?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's a good one.
But
yeah,
on the plus side, all I've got to say is this: second half, I do this. Try to Pele.
when I saw that Pele had scored a try, I was thinking, you've lost, you've conceded 56 points, but that's still poor because you've let Franklin Pele score.
But yeah, he's off the mark. He's got as many tries as Jay Field this season.
Yeah, well, yeah, good point, yeah.
So is Ockenbaugh.
And I bet he's on six times the amount of money as well,
yeah.
Jay Field.
Yeah. Can't buy that quality, yeah.
That's true.
So Pele off the mark.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I don't know if you saw the other comments this week. Did you watch the highlight? Because there's no Super League show anymore. So did you watch the Super League ones on YouTube? I take it. Anyone watch them?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I can't think who the other commentator was on the whole game. I think it was Barry McDermott. But he was saying that Herman Esayesa has become under some unnecessary bad comments because he likes the way he runs it in. And I'm thinking, is he watching the same player we are? He's terrible. Hull's pack is shocking.
Yeah.
Needs sacking.
So are the backs.
Yeah. Yeah, true. True.
No, just a point. They're like a cricket team that can't bat and can't bowl. Not going to win many matches. Team at Huddersfield, though, Callum.
Mm.
You've been quite critical of Huddersfield, haven't you, this season? But I tell you what, not really, but they can score some points.
I just said they annoy me.
They can score some points, though.
They can score some
mainly
points.
Mainly against Hull, but yeah, they can score some points.
They can score some points, but, you know, if they conceded 50 against Catalan this weekend, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem, the consistency.
Yeah.
Then that's why they're a mid-table team.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We talked about Rowan Smith being on borrowed time then. It is Tony Smith on borrowed time.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? I just think that because of who he is away, he's not like Wayne Bennett or anything, is he? But it's like, is there bigger problems going on that's helping him survive?
There seems to be, don't there?
Yeah. If it was any other club, I think your answer is yes.
Yeah.
If the team doesn't perform like this at Leeds or at Saints or at Wigan, you'd say, right, see you later, you're off, 100%. Yeah. I think because of the whole FC scene, there's something that, if he can't change the culture, then who can?
Just as an aside to the Tony Smith thing for Hull, what's the first priority? What do they need to work on? Don't just say defence, but like, what do they need to work on?
Defence.
In terms of...
Well, obviously, it's like, is it an attitude thing? Is it a technique thing? Is it a structure thing?
It seems at the minute, it just seems to be an attitude thing. I think that's a big thing for them because of the way that they're leaking points and... You know, we just slated off right-hand side defender. The first set, they've missed two tackles, that sort of thing. That all just comes down to attitude. That's not ability, that's attitude. I mean, the signings that they've made for this season are shocking.
And that doesn't help.
No. You know, Okumbo...
We don't know what they're like behind the scenes.
No. But on the pitch, going off the pitch, Okumbo's been shocking, Pele's been shocking. I don't think SASA's been that good. No. So the signs that they brought in haven't helped, but you know, if you're missing two tackles in the first 57 seconds, that's an attitude thing.
Yeah,
that's just not wanting to be out there.
Yeah, because that's when you should be at your hardest.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I think that's the first thing. Yeah. The attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on to the other side of Hull. Who are currently...
He does that every week.
What, moving on to the side of Hull?
Yeah.
Well, he does, actually, doesn't he? Either way,
week.
Vice versa, yeah. Either way, moving over to the other side.
There's only two games left.
Oh. I was just saying.
Right, well, do you know
while,
what?
While we're up there on the Humber Bridge.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's no point going to Castleford where we can stay in Hull. You know what I mean?
Just exactly.
Do that. We can jump on the 62 and go down to Castleford after that.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Call it an escape on the way.
I'm not coming in. I'm not turning up next week.
Hey.
Hull KR 50, London 10.
Similar question, Callum. Where do London have to improve? Because some of the defending in this game from them, it's like an under-8s team. And I don't give me this, oh, they're a championship team playing in Super League and things like that, because some of the defence is woeful.
I think, and I don't want to be too critical, but whereas the whole thing is an attitude, I think the London thing is just ability. Because I think they've, I think they try hard, and I think they want to be there and they want to do the best. I just don't think that they've got the ability. Some of the players just aren't at that level, are they?
No. Would other top championship teams concede 50 plus points every single week?
No, but they aren't a top championship team. They weren't.
No, fair enough. Yeah.
Don't get me, what they did was absolutely incredible. But they were like six or something.
Mm.
And they're down 40 points to four at half time in this game. So, I mean, Ulcair obviously rung the changes, took the foot off the gas a little bit, gone through some moves, haven't they?
Yeah.
In the second
Challenge
half.
Cup next week. That's yeah. Just, they,
you know, stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. They've not got out of second gear in the second half, have they?
No, not at all.
Funniest thing, I don't think it actually turned the game, but it put them in front. The Mater Batchelor pass for the second try.
It was a mile forward.
It was like Patrick Mahomes, that, wasn't it?
It was an absolute mile forward.
Well, he offloaded it forward, he fell. And as he's falling, he just chucks it, and it's like forward, and it's like an offload, isn't it, that goes forward.
He was
actually stood in front of him.
I thought that.
He was stood in front of him and caught it, and then fall over the line with it. I'm like, surely someone's seen that. It's absolutely bizarre.
Terrible.
It was a shocking decision.
It really was.
I don't think it'd have mattered in the end, but
no. You never know.
It was an odd one. Ulcair, I think, looking, I know it's always hard to say when teams play London, but they're getting back in their stride a bit now, a lot more, aren't they?
Yeah. Ever since they put Peter Hickey at centre.
Because he's a centre.
Yeah.
And moved him away from fullback.
Absolute masterclass from Willie Poaching, that.
Willie Poaching?
Did I say poaching?
Yeah.
I don't know. Peters, whatever he's called.
Just Willie. Big Willie.
Willie, yeah. Masterclass from... I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Yes, well, moving on to our final game of round seven, and it was a 60-point thriller, and it went in favour of the Castleford Tigers, 36-24 over the Salford Red Devils.
To be fair, the last game we talked about was a 60-point thriller.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
This one, though, was the most enjoyable game of the round. This was the best game of the round.
Yeah, I think so as well. Salford went 8-0 up quite early, and then Cass clawed the way back in and went in front, and it was a bit of to-ing and throwing, but played with her. Four tries from in his senior.
We've given him lots of praise before on the pod, and he's quick, he's strong. Really,
I think his finishing leaves something to be desired. If I remember, if it's the right senior, I'm thinking of.
Oh, I think that's the other one. What's the other one called?
Lewis.
Yeah, I think he's. Yeah, he's good.
He's good. I don't know what his level is, but he's a good player.
Yeah, he took all four of his tries really well.
Yeah, he did. One of them he should never have scored. No, that's the one I'm thinking of. I mean, he did really well, but his defending for it was woeful.
Salford defending in general, I thought, was woeful on this.
Yeah, again, though, that has been a criticism of you mainly, Andy, of like a Paul Rowley team defending sometimes is shocking.
Yeah. We talk about the kits.
Okay.
Well, first of all, there's a bit of a clash.
I didn't think there was.
I didn't think there was much of a clash.
Maybe it's just my eyes.
One was white, then. One was red.
No. But why are they wearing like some sort of Wigan kit?
Cass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I didn't even see anything online about what it was. Or
why couldn't they wear their orange?
Was it because Salford...
Was it some sort of special kit?
Don't know.
No, it's their away kit. But the only thing I can think of...
What, is it?
Yeah, that's their away kit for the season.
No, I've never... That's the first time I've seen it.
The only thing I can think of is the home kit for Castleford is quite a lot of black at the bottom around the stomach. So maybe if Salford were in black and red, maybe they thought they were going to clash
Salford
more.
What's Salford away kit?
Black.
That one, that's Salford's away kit.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Salford with they had a little bit of red up at the top, but it was mainly black. So Cass went away because Salford were coming in their away kit and they thought it was going to clash more with the black on black.
Why can't they both wear their own kit?
It would have made more sense.
Don't know.
Just looked really odd.
Mm. I didn't think there was that much of a clash, to be honest.
No, I didn't.
I just thought it was very dark. I thought when they
I think it's just like that in Castleford.
So I said the lights weren't up to much, I'll be honest, but like it's making it sound like they've all got candles running around.
It's like a Dickens novel.
they're all running around with candles. Amazing, yeah. Well, I don't know whether they've got like great expectations now they've won a game. Then,
oh, here we go.
Oh God!
Saying, but they're off and running.
They are up and running, and they played really well.
I do think it's been coming for the last couple of like last few weeks. They have, even though they've been on the end of some beatings and stuff, they have improved the way they've played. I thought,
Yeah.
You have like the last couple of weeks when we've looked at it. Like, they were 0-0 at half-time against Leeds last week, for example. And we've said, haven't we, oh, if they play Hull now, they're going to beat Hull.
Yeah.
If they play London now, they're going to beat London. You could see, I think with Castleford, you can see a bit of an improvement.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Whereas the other two at the bottom, you can't really, can
struggling
you?
Struggling out. Yeah.
Whereas I think Cash, you can actually see that they've got something about them. All right, they struggled past Batley the week before in the cup, but they were 0-0 against Leeds. So they've had they've had signs there. They've like had little seeds of growth, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good win to take into going into this week. So,
well, they'll need that, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. But I think that just wraps up this segment, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Through it at the minute.
Anyway, it's Stats of the Week time.
Hello.
Just caught us mid-conversation during the jingle.
Did we get caught on it then?
Yeah.
Ooh. We actually said that he's whizzing through it at the minute, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll take two. Stats of the Week time.
Hello.
Shows it's live.
Yeah.
I have six this week.
Okay.
So, stat number one is in the NRL, Ben Takura made history this weekend when he debuted for the Broncos, as he is now the tallest player to play in NRL history. He stands at 6'8".
Right.
So, yeah, tallest player in NRL history.
Is he any good, though?
He got a try.
You know, maybe if he doesn't, maybe he can play basketball or something, but...
I don't know, it's just like when he was reading it out and he's like, oh, yeah, he's made history. I'm thinking, oh. He's like, oh, he's the tallest player. I mean, like, yeah.
He's made history because he's like, yeah, just because he's grown big. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hope they get better.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a start, yeah. Obviously. It's not, I'm not having a go at you, but it's
I hope they get better than that, though, this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Just an opener, just to ease you in.
All right, yeah.
Judgeson. Okay, stat number two, staying with the NRL, is Adam Reynolds has never won a game in Melbourne.
Right.
He is 0-10 against the Storm.
Is that all he's played there?
Yeah.
Like 34 or something?
Yeah.
Right.
Stat number three. The last time that St. Helens beat Catalans in a league match in France was 6 years ago, back in 2018. They did have a cup success against the Dragons back in 22, but yeah, looking for their first league win still since 2018.
Not a happy hunting ground.
Not at all, no.
No. Stat number four. Innes Senior has become the 11th Cass player to score 4 tries in a match. The last to do so was Darrell Alford back in 2022. However, the most tries in a match stays with Greg Eden, who scored 5 back in 2017.
I was really hoping that then one of your favourite players would get a mention there for scoring 4 for Cass.
Who's that?
Darren Rogers.
I wouldn't say he's one of my favourite players.
You begged him for a signed photo.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. That is an absolute lie. Stop lying on the podcast.
Just for people that didn't know, I used to work with a friend of Darren Rogers, and he very kindly got a signed picture, didn't he, of Darren Rogers, didn't he? Because he told him that like Bobby was like his biggest fan and everything. And he had like loads of pictures over his wall, bedroom wall of Darren Rogers, didn't he? Kept coming back with all these Darren Rogers things. Oh, I got this off Daz for you, yeah.
I still can't believe that.
He was playing for Dewsbury at the time, as well.
He was, yeah. He's just a trunk full of signed pictures. Full of, yeah. A boot full of them.
Yeah, trunk. He could do a car. What's a trunk?
He could do a car boot with all them now.
He had a trunk in his boot.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Americans call it trunk.
Yeah, a trunk, like a big box.
Yeah, big
boot.
Box, like a box, yeah. You're like your box full of Darren Rogers souvenirs.
I'm going to try and figure a way out of that one.
Oh, dear. What's the next one?
Stat number 5, and I apologise, I may butcher his first name. I don't know how I don't know if I... So, I'm going to go with Kian Tyra. He plays for Oldham.
Right.
Anyway, he's also set a new record for Oldham this week. He scored 6 tries in the game against Hunslet. He is the first Oldham player to do so in 64 years.
All right, okay.
Excellent effort.
Yeah.
So, well done.
Who was the last one?
I don't know. I couldn't find the name.
Ah.
So, sorry.
Bernard Joskin.
Bernard Joskin.
I don't know who it was.
Joskin.
Joskin.
Joskin. And finally, the last stat of the week goes to the Huddersfield Giants. In their last 3 games against Hull, which was this weekend, the Challenge Cup, and the one from the end of last season, they have registered 50-plus points in each game and have scored 29 tries in their last 3 games against Hull. Hull FC.
Wow.
3.
In the last 3, they've scored 29 tries.
Wow.
Carl thinking they've slipped up on one there. 10-9 or whatever. Yeah. They've slipped up somewhere, haven't they?
Somewhere, yeah.
Knock on somewhere at the end.
Wow.
29 tries.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it just?
Wow. Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
That's a good one, that, to finish. I'm stunned with that.
Yeah, very good one to finish on.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, NRL time. So I will just run through the scores. If you have anything to add, please do. Storm 34, Broncos 32. Bulldogs 30, Roosters 26, which was a very impressive scoreline for the Roosters, really, because it was threatening to get out of hand at one point.
They were 20-0 down or something.
Yeah, they were 20-0 down. They had Dom Young sent off.
Yeah.
They played the last 10 minutes with 11 men, because Victor Radley was sent to the sin bin.
Tedesco and Walker got failed HIA.
Yeah, they both failed, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad score, but an impressive win for the Bulldogs nonetheless. Yeah.
When you're up against it, you're down to 12. You can always rely on Victor Radley to keep his head calm, can't you? You know, around everything,
he's the calm, cool presence you want on the pitch.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Knights 30, Dragons 10. Callum, the Bunnies' woes continue. Bunnies 4, Warriors 34.
Time me for.
You're a Bunnies fan?
Nah, no.
Was.
Was. Why, you just bought this week?
The Warriors.
The Storm.
Yeah.
The Storm. the Mighty Sea Eagles, told you they're going to win it. 32, the little Penrith Panthers, 18.
Good win, that, isn't it?
Very good win. Very good win. Yeah. Even if they didn't have Nathan Cleary. The Dolphins 26, the Tigers 16. Another team, Andy, your team, the Titans continue their slump. Cowboys 35, Titans 22. Like they were coming back for a moment as well.
Yeah, then it went pear-shaped at the end, didn't it? Yeah.
What, did like the Cowboys knock on or something?
No, they got it to 28-22 with 12 minutes to go.
And then Kyle Felt intercepted. And
intercepted? Did you see the pass for the interception? He just sort of like lobbed it up like some 6-year-old, and he just went, "All right, cheers, thanks for that, mate," and off they went. It was honestly.
The Raiders pummeled the Eels 41-8.
See, well, there's a lot more points in the NRL these days, isn't there? Than there used to be.
Seems to be this season, higher scores going on.
I don't know if it's because of like six again. And
I was going to say rule changes made the game quicker. Teams get tired. Yeah, but no, you're right.
You know, there's quite a lot big scores, even big losing scores there as well. There's
six of the eight games scored over 30 plus points. So
yeah. It used to be in what 2, 3, maybe 4 tries at a push in a game,
and now the Panthers. You said they were out clear with. They didn't play that. They didn't play that lad they played against Wigan in the World Club Challenge, did they?
No. Brad Schneider's got his place now.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they'd have done better if they'd have done that in that World Club
Challenge.
I kind
of feel that's what they should have done.
Instead of playing
a centre from the Toyota Cup or something, yeah.
As Callum says, if you're a centre, you're a centre. You're not a halfback, you're not a fullback. Yeah. Play your centre.
Yes. Yes, Willie Peters.
Yeah. Poaching.
Yeah, Willie Poaching, whoever it is. Yeah, Big Willie. Yeah.
Whatever your name is.
Big Willie.
Right. Yeah, that's it. That's the NRL.
Okie doke.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Okay, it's time for the ever-growing popular only in rugby league section. So I will hand over to Andy.
No jingle?
Listen, if you come up with something, let me know.
Bryce sent loads and loads of songs.
Have you shown me one?
No.
Right then.
Okay. Well, as people have known all through the week, it's a bumper edition.
Again.
No, even more of a bumper edition. We'll ease you into it. We'll ease you into it with the LA Rams, American football team, who had their picture taken with, like, proud to see a joint picture with the LA Rams and the Brisbane Broncos, except it was the Roosters.
God.
just so, there you go. Let's go to Sky Commentary. John Wells, Castleford v Salford. John Wells said this has got all the makings of a 79 or 80 minute game.
Mm.
My money was on 80.
Yeah, I had a bet on 80, yeah.
So,
don't know, I got a feeling over 79, you know.
Yeah. You tell you what he talked about, we've mentioned him before, Willie Poach, you know, Willie Peters or whatever his name is. Absolute uproar, weren't they? Because he was attending the Hull FC game at weekend.
Yes, he was, yeah.
People like in absolute uproar why he's attending that game. Is he coming to Hull FC? He's like,
maybe it's just like me. Maybe he just likes to go from Hull KR to Hull FC every now and then.
Yeah.
Maybe he likes Shakespearean tragedies.
The worrying one, I think, now to go on with, which I've brought up in only in rugby league, is that adverts appearing on timelines for people with concussion in sport claims.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, popping up on timelines and saying, have you played rugby? you could be entitled to this, that, and the other. It's now seems to have become online the new diesel claim.
PPI.
Mm. Mm. So, yeah, that's a bit of a worry one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Congratulations or not to Michael Jennings. Michael Jennings played his 300th game in the NRL. And they all have the big sort of like celebration, don't they, when somebody reaches 300?
Usually what they do on the 30 line, they put an extra zero, so it says 300.
Yeah, not for Michael Jennings because of his previous misdemeanors, shall we say. Yeah. His civil rape conviction and things like that. They've just gone like...
Drugs ban.
Yeah, and they were like, nah, mate, we're not doing it for you. So
seems a bit harsh.
Yeah, so if you're going to
let him come back and play, like...
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll say, well done, Michael Jennings.
Yeah.
Nice one sent in this week. Oh, so by the way, sorry, I've had some need to get some names out of the way, if that's okay. Some brilliant submissions this week from Tom Andrews, Forbidden Game, Sammy, Carsten, Johnny, Bry, and Matt F. So thank you for all your submissions this week, amongst other people. Good one from Johnny this week, though. A mate of his sent me the correspondence from Bet365, who wouldn't void the Joe Greenwood bet that he'd put on, which said if they said if we quote an incorrect player as part of the matchday squad, or if a player we quote as part of the matchday squad is subsequently replaced in that squad list prior to kickoff, the bet on that player will be void. Do you know why they didn't void it?
No.
Because in all the official sites, none of the official sites had the change listed. BBC said that Greenwood played. Sky Sports aren't listing the teams, and Super League Twitter account didn't even mention it. So therefore, they didn't void the bet. So, unlucky. Let's go to Warrington. Did you see the interview with Sam Burgess after the game where they asked him about Toby King?
Briefly, I didn't.
And he was like, and Tom Burgess was saying, I've known him for like 6 months now, and like, I still don't know him. I don't know him at all. It's pretty much Toby's world, and we're all living in it. he just didn't know what to say about him. It was funny.
I can't see him being there much longer, to be honest.
The RFL. I'm not saying this is their fault, it's just the situation. Challenge Cup final, he's starting this Challenge Cup final day, so it's the ladies' final, the 1895 Cup, Challenge Cup final, etc. Yep. Pretty much starts 12 hours after England and Iceland play in the Euros at Wembley.
Right.
So if you're looking for a hotel and things like that, good luck with that, because England are playing Iceland on the Friday.
In the Euros.
Yeah. There'll be all markings on the pitch and everything, won't they? And
yeah,
that sort of stuff. So I'm not saying it's their fault, but somewhere along the line,
it's not ideal, is it?
It's not, in it. Back to one of our favourites, the Wigan ticket office. still no option for Castaway tickets.
This, as in this Sunday?
Yeah, this was a couple of days ago, this weekend. And again, when you tried to go on it, like, it just come up with not valid. Couldn't do it. Yeah. But Castaway tickets, let's hope you're not taking your youngster to that. £5 swap Salford fans encountered for that game. Unfortunately, it went up to £19 on match day.
Wow.
What?
For a junior.
Oh, wow. Dear.
Which is...
It's a £14.
£14 hike on the match day prices.
Wow. £19 for a junior?
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible in itself, yeah.
How does that encourage people to take kids?
I don't know, especially if you have to make a last-minute decision.
Well, again, some people can't make that decision with work or whatever, can they? Or they don't know if you can go or anything like that. Oh, yeah, go on, it's a nice night, we'll go. But it'll cost you like 14 quid more. I'll not bother, it's on telly, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know. I just think we should be having more junior deals and things like that.
Definitely.
Let's go to Lee for the first time tonight. Not the last, but the first. The again, we'll ease you into Lee this week. Joss Chandler's bucket collection.
Oh yeah.
Now we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Mm.
Brilliantly, all the buckets have now been repainted and everything.
Oh yeah.
So it was give generously to like Jay. They've got like JC on the buckets now.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was quite apt for Easter, really.
Yeah.
and it was. Yeah, they've got that now. They're like absolutely like personalised buckets now that you can give in.
Very nice. Yeah. Cool.
That's good. Well so, done.
Well, yeah. Absolutely, that was good. we'll stay in Lee.
Just the buckets. I mean, oh God.
We'll stay in Lee.
Oh, Kevin De Bruyne is having his testimonial. What should we do?
KDB buckets.
KDB buckets.
The B stands for bucket. Oh, <yeah. laughs> nice comment from Greg McNally this week on Twitter. Got absolute zero time for people who live in Lee supporting Wigan and singing Inbreds and bus stopping Wigan. Thanks for that, Greg. We'll not stay in Lee. We'll save that all, shall we?
Yeah.
Sky, I'll tell you what, the half-time scores, they mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They mixed up. They had Castleford 40, Salford 4, Hull KR 18, London 14. London doing well at half time there, but only 18-14 down, but unfortunately collapsed into 50 points to 10 loss. Mm. So
yeah.
a little bit unlucky. Now, a bit of a, if you've seen this online, it's not for the faint hearted. Will Dagger's injury.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about Will Dagger's injury?
No, because I don't know what happened.
I think he got a stud caught in his armpit, didn't he?
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Should we leave that one there?
If you've not seen it, you know, you've got a strong stomach going.
You shouldn't be able to see inside the human body. That's not
inside
right.
His armpit. I like the way they stitched it up and his hair was still in place.
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Oh, it was just... Oh, it was horrid.
Let's look at Bobby's Facebook this week. But an advert came out. I think it was Bobby's Facebook. People you might know. He sent it me anyway.
Oh, yeah.
People you might know. And there was a blonde-haired 20-odd-year-old lad underneath it. It went, Sione Matautia.
Oh, yeah, you sent it me, actually. It was Joey Lussick, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be Joey Lussick. Yeah.
People you might know. Sione Matautia. Excellent. Let's go to Leeds. Leeds Rhino's Twitter. Leeds Rhino's advertiser on the Twitter during the game. Handley off, Lissoni on. Momorovsky's gone to the wing and Rhyme Martin has gone to centre.
Rhyme Martin.
The famous poet.
The Rhyme Martin.
That famous poet, Rhyme Martin. Ended up going to centre.
Oh dear!
Newcastle Knights, they had a good win, didn't they? You said they battered somebody, didn't they, in the NRL this week?
30-10, I think they beat the Dragons.
Probably because on the team sheet they had two number sevens playing. They had two scrum halves playing, seven Cogger and seven Hastings, which was seems a bit unfair to me. That
yeah,
that's cheating.
And also on the team sheets this week, Salford Mark Nofaluma. I hope he played well this week. Let's go back to Lee. Not what you're thinking.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about Lee's fireworks pre-match.
Okay.
Well, it looked like bonfire night, didn't it? It was like, they couldn't see a thing, could you, at kickoff? It was absolutely, it's a proper pea super.
Yeah.
In there. So, Lee's fireworks, didn't quite cut it. Nice announcement from Huddersfield Giants regarding Fenton Rodgers this week. Huddersfield Giants have concluded their investigation into the evening of 30 the 28th of March, culminating in the suspension of Fenton Rodgers from the club last week, and can confirm the internal disciplinary action has been taken and the suspension is now revoked. In addition, the player will now move to Bradford Bulls on a short-term loan. Excellent. A late addition today. Bobby, you can talk us through this one. Good old Salford have released a retro shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. I'm sorry.
It's called the Retro Mashup shirt, which is celebrating Salford's heritage.
That's right, yeah. So they released the shirt, and it contained, of their 150-year history, it contained the home and away shirt for 2024, the home and away shirt and alternate shirt of 2023, their 2018 Magic Weekend shirt, and the 1990 to 92 home and away shirt.
There's not much history in them shirts at this stage.
Seven out of the eight have been the last 7 years or something. Yeah.
Do you know what was pointed out to me, though, that I missed on this that baffled me?
Go on.
Didn't they make the grand final in 2019?
Yeah.
Surely that...
Challenge Cup final in 2020. Yeah.
Surely that is better than the last 2 years you've
had. Why have they put this year's kits in them?
I don't know, but have you actually seen the shirt?
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, I don't know who's buying. Although somebody did post after that, I've ordered two.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Why?
Just like it that much.
Oh, fair enough then. Let's talk about Blake Austin. Blake Austin posts this week, Jared O'Connor is still Leeds' best nine. Brody Croft struggling in a Smith system. Like halves to play like back rowers. And if you're not willing to yardage carry as a half, the game can pass you by. Croft is largely unsighted. A little bit bitter still, isn't he, Blake?
Yeah, let it go.
You've moved on. You've moved on. Let it go.
Or has he?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, he's not been heard of since, has he? News.com Australia reporting that the Rabbitohs coach James Demetriou is in trouble. James, Jason, you take your pick. I know we're getting to the good ones now this week. We're getting to the big ones. Let's go to the NRL. Let's go to the NRL. And the Storm, Asofa Solomona, could be leaving the Storm as he was told pre-season to come back and lose weight, and he came back heavier.
What a guy.
Needs to go and train in a bin bag or something, doesn't he, really?
Doesn't he, yeah.
Let's stay in the NRL and the match between the Cowboys and the Titans and the markings on the pitch for the television, which was advertising footy country, except they pretty much wrote it as it sounds.
Yeah, they missed the...
missed the O out of country, so footy country was... Yeah.
All new different meaning.
Yeah, even the pictures have just been blurred out now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, that was an excellent one. Where do you want to go next? Let's go to... I'll tell you where we'll go now. Let's go to Hull FC's Twitter. Advertising, it's a windy day here in West Hull.
Oh, this is bad.
And then underneath it went, 3 p.m, Hull KR versus Huddersfield.
Yeah, that's just... I don't know how they've made that mistake.
And that's not even the worst club Twitter thing of the week.
No.
That is incredible, isn't it?
But that's unforgivable. How can you... You've basically called yourself your biggest rivals. Like, oh, that's so bad.
That's shocking, isn't it?
So bad.
Let's go to Workington's official Twitter. Yeah? And it just went... they'd had a win, brilliant win for Workington, and it just went woohoo on the Twitter, but then showed all the naked players in the dressing room. which I thought was excellent. A couple more this week. Let's travel to St Helens, in particular to St Helens, not to the ground or to the match, but let's travel to the nightlife of St Helens. Oh, let's travel to a nightclub in St Helens, where round the back of it you won't find Joe Westerman, but you will find Wonga Blake engaged in, should we say, getting to know the local female fraternity, should we say, Callum?
Yeah, that's probably the best way.
Yeah, and then the police I believe, got to know him and given him an on-the-spot caution, and he's been dropped and fined and pretty much told to book his ideas up.
He's just settling into the culture of St. Helens.
And in a week where he's Westermanned it, it's not even the biggest scandal, is it?
No.
Because I think we've got two left this week that can beat that. Do you want to go to Lee or do you want to go to Hull?
Hull.
So, let's go to Hull and let's go to Tech Toy's dad. So, Tech Toy's dad, basically, really having a go at Tony Smith, isn't he, this week?
Yeah.
Saying that, like he can't coach. He's got no man management skills, etc. Yeah. So this story starts with Tech Toy unfollowing all FC's social media platforms.
Yep.
Which I'm not surprised after that whole KR mistake. But then his dad gets involved. Hoy 666. Cheeky devil. Huh. And he says, let's see how many of the off-contract players resign if the out-of-date, no-structure, no-systems bloke playing mind games with players with the club and the media is still there. No structure, no systems, chopping and changing, playing my games are a good way to coach a team. And then he was back to say, the match review panel should be charging Tony Smith for his shit coaching. Having no people skills, manipulating the club and the media, what Tony Smith says.
3-game ban for being a bad coach.
I've been a bad dad, you decide. Yeah. If that was you and your dad did that, I'm like, would you be just saying, yeah, go on, dad, stick up for me? Or would you be saying, listen, you need to
can you delete them, please? Yeah.
They're paying me wages.
Yeah, exactly.
Stood behind him in a corner going, yeah, go on, dad, get him.
Do you think it's safe to say that, Tech Toy might be on his way out of Hull?
Yeah. Pretty sharp. Probably safe to say that, yeah.
Yeah. It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And then the last one of the week, of a bumper week, because my voice is nearly gone, to be honest, this week. Let's go back over to Lee, and in particular to Derek Beaumont, who during the match tweeted his own club off his personal account to say, at Lee Leopards, this Twitter feed is a joke for supporters trying to follow the game. Has someone resigned without notice? Set-by-set coverage is the brief.
I don't know.
To be fair, it did go set-by-set after that.
I just don't know why he opens himself up for criticism. If he's not in the country or whatever, which I don't think he is, or footy country, if he's elsewhere, surely he knows who's doing it, or he's got someone he can ring to go sort this out.
Yeah.
Not do it publicly
on
like
Twitter,
that.
Yeah, call him out, yeah. Can you imagine them going into work the next day? They'll all be like, ah, yeah, you're in for it.
Because if he blocked him.
Yeah.
Ah, let's put up with this.
Ace, wouldn't it?
Oh, God, it'd be
but then
so good.
Then he comes back on the next day, though.
Yeah.
Comes back on the next day and goes, what a meltdown. So the world of X can viciously and abusively criticise owners, coaches, players, refs and the governing body. But an owner cannot bring into question an unknown to the public, nameless, faceless admin of its own account in a non-toxic manner. Some whoppers on here. Like that...
They're not faceless, though, are they? Because
everybody knows who it is.
The club know who it is.
Of course they do, yeah. Everybody knows that, don't they? They're all in the club going, that was you.
Yeah.
who was on the game last night?
Yeah. Did you get that set?
Yeah. Was it you, Terry? No. I knocked off at 6, me.
I don't know. Doing it internally seems better, but it worked. You can't argue with the results.
It did, and also, it even got brought up on the Sky commentary team at half-time with Brian Carney, who said, what a game. If you like that, you've got smoke coming out of your keyboard if you're trying to keep up with that on social media.
Brilliant.
So, have I missed it? No. That is a very quiet week in only in rugby league. Thank you for all your contributions.
The only rugby league podcast predictions league, six again.
Yes, predictions league, and obviously we're joined by Brian from Six Again. Brian, how are we this week?
Newt, gentlemen. Newt.
Right.
How are we?
Yes, very well, thank you.
Good. I see your team got another 2 points, 3 points, however many points like to taken off them this week again, Brian, didn't they?
Yeah, gain two, lose two. Just a normal week.
Normal week has been an Evertonian.
Yeah.
No, we just searching social media and waiting for Sky Sports News to tell you something you already know.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you cheer yourself up, Brian, go through the prediction league.
Not really. Okay. So, last week, we had 12 spot-ons, but the week just gone, we only had one. And it was in our last game in the Catalan St. Helens game, and that was by Victoria for Catalan. We only had three teams or four teams who went over 20 points this week, so it was a bit of a slow week. The lowest was myself and Warrington, who only got 6 points each. Bobby went up five places to fifth. Hull KR went down four to eight. Huddersfield went down to three to six. Everyone else either went up one or down, up or down one or up and down two. Top seven, Callum, you're in seventh. You are 3 points behind Bobby, who's in fifth. Andy went up two to third and is a point above Bobby. Even though I only got 6 points, I stayed in, well, went second. I'm 2 points ahead of Andy, but there's a 14-point gap now to the top of the league, insiders.
Oh.
Mm. What was it someone said to you, Andy? You were going to get a nosebleed if you carry on.
Yeah. That's true. Well, there we go. There's the Predictions League. Obviously, it's the Challenge Cup this week, quarterfinals. So there'll be no Predictions League this week. It's like an international break for us. But we'll have a quick run through each of the quarterfinal games. So, Bobby, I will let you take it away with one of the games.
Yeah, well, first one is Cass and Wigan. I know Cass played well against Salford, but I can only see this going one way. Wigan, like as you said in the roundup this week, Callum, Wigan have got the best of both worlds in their attack and the defence, and I think you'll just see more of the same this week. And I'm going to go Wigan by 20.
Yeah, similar. I think Wigan will win. If we're picking the four quarter finalists, I'll Wigan as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Wigan. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, totally Wigan all day long.
Okay. Next game.
Catalan Huddersfield is an interesting one. I think Huddersfield, obviously, well, but the pair of them actually coming off the back of really decent wind, especially Catalan. Keeping Saints and keeping them to eight. Huddersfield scoring tries for fun against Hull. I just think Catalan being at home have a massive advantage. I think Catalan will win. I think it'd be tight-ish. I'd say Catalan by about 10.
I'd say Catalan, but I think what's really important for Huddersfield in this one to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
I think if they can get off to a good start, I think they've got half a chance.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I was going to say, just to add to that, if there's going to be, if you have your four favourites, if you like, in this game, that's the one that you could say would be that's the one that could upset the favourites. If you put Catalan as your favourites, that's the one game that you think, well, they could get beat.
I don't think they will. I think Catalans will win. But and it's like you said, Callum, they could win. They, you said earlier in the pod, and you said, yeah, but they could, Huddersfield could let 50 in this week.
And
they could do. But I think if they get off to a good start, then they'll be right in it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Catalans as well.
I'll go Catalans, though.
Yeah, Catalans as well for me. Right?
Yeah, definitely Catalans. And to add to that, I think if Huddersfield don't do a warm-up session in the middle of the square, they're already a step up. But yeah, definitely. You can only see a Catalan win, can't you, really?
Yeah. Brian, talk to me about Hull KR and Lee, repeat of last year's final.
Well, on form, you'd have to say it's Hull KR all day long. They seem to go one wing one week and then down one the other wing the next week. So they're mixing it up a bit, whereas Lee, I think they put more effort into getting Josh Charney some testimonial money in the buckets last week. You just don't know what's going to turn up with them, do you, really? It's just with Lee. So for me, I'd say Hull KR by 24.
Yeah, I think similar to what you said with Catalans against Huddersfield, Callum. It's not just it on form. I think Hull KR at home are just a massive advantage. The crowd just really get on your back, don't they? And they turn it into a really, really good atmosphere. So, yeah, I'm with Bri. I think I can only see another winner in this, and that's Hull KR.
Yeah, I agree as well.
And Andy, the last game, and the last game of the weekend, I believe, Saints v Warrington at 4:30 on Sunday.
I think this is the one that's molting the balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Saints go in as slight favourites. But we talked before about the attack. We talked a while about how well Warrington are playing. I don't think it would surprise many people if Warrington went and came away with the win, would it?
No.
I think, you know, I think this is a real test for Warrington for us to know where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they do come through this, then you'd have to say that they're serious contenders all around this season, I think. I'm going to go Saints. I don't think it'll be by many, but I think Saints will edge it. And I mean just edge it. I don't think there'll be much in it at all. But I'll go flip of a coin and I'll go Saints.
I think Callum said before, I think Saints have an 8 start on the handicap in betting. And like you've said, I wouldn't be backing them by more than 8. If Saints win, it'll be
close.
It'll be 2, maybe 4 at a point. I can't see more than 8 points.
I wouldn't be confident on that, saying they're more than 8, yeah.
I'm going to edge it very, very closely just to Saints. Just close. It's close, but again, could see Warrington walking away with this, but I'll go Saints.
I think I'll stick with Saints.
Brian?
I think Percival coming back is going to be massive for Saints.
Yeah.
If he's back. On the flip side, I think if Toby King decides to play this week, that could be massive for Warrington as well.
Yeah.
So, as you say, it's going to be close. I'd say home advantage just would see it too. I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to a drop goal or golden point.
Okay. So, it's a clean sweep from everybody. Wigan, Catalans, Hull KR and Saints.
Yeah.
That means that's not going to happen, does it?
No, absolutely not.
See, the other thing is again, they've decided to have the draw at half-time in the last game.
Oh, so really?
If that game's really close, let's just say Castleford do beat Wigan. Everyone will want Castleford. And so then if Saints or Wigan get Castleford, then you're potentially 80 minutes away from Wembley.
Yeah.
But if they get Wigan, they might we'll not bother this second half.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I wonder who's doing the draw this time. Might be like two pool players or something like this time, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, when Saints do the crossbar challenge, it's not the crossbar challenge this year. There's going to be different two seasons. If Rolders will come out and do the draw.
Do the draw, yeah.
But yeah, the games this weekend, boys, one's on BBC Two on Saturday, is Hull KR and Lee. And that's 5 o'clock. And Saints Waddington, BBC Two on Sunday.
Right. When are the other two games, Bri?
Castleford Wigan is on Saturday as well, but that's not on the telly. I think that's a 3 o'clock kickoff. I'm got it in front of me.
Okay.
That's like Catalan for Huddersfield is Saturday, and that's 8 o'clock.
Right.
And then Castleford Wigan's on Sunday. I think that's 3 o'clock.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Bri.
Okie doke. Well, there we have it. Thank you for staying with us all this time. We hope you enjoyed. If you are going to any games this week, then please enjoy and stay safe. But from all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast for this week, it's goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.